Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence, for we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living, for we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, says, "Surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old." It was no messenger. It was no messenger or angel. That's what an angel is, a messenger, a message carrier, if you will. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. It wasn't some detached entity. It wasn't some agency of God. It wasn't some messenger of God. It wasn't a preacher or a teacher. It wasn't an angel that saved the people of God. It's not an angel that saves the people of God, a messenger that brings the good news, the gospel of peace. It's not some detached entity or agency, but rather the very presence of God. The very presence of God that saves the people, the children of God. That's the essence of the Christmas story, my friends. That the very presence of the living God, the very presence of God Almighty, the Word of God through whom the whole world was created, the very presence of the living God came to be with us in a baby and grew up. Why? Why was Jesus born? When I was a kid, one of my favorite words was, "Why?" Greg, you need to go clean your room. Why? Greg, you need to do your homework. Why? Greg, you need to take out the trash. Why? Or, "Mom, why is the sky blue? Why does the moon rise in the east and set in the west instead of the other way around? Why is it hot in the summer and cold in the winter? Why doesn't it snow on Christmas? Why? It reminds me of the cartoon from early in the 1990s, Animaniacs. And in Animaniacs, there was a cartoon figure named Mindy, and she had a dog named Buttons. And Buttons was always getting lost and trying to save her when she would get herself into trouble. And then, of course, Buttons would get in trouble. And she would always ask the big adults, and they only saw the feet of the adults, okay? Their feet and legs. And you'd hear Mommy come up and say, "Now, Mindy, be good. Why? I'm going to the store. Why?" And then when she says, "Mindy, I gotta go. Bye." And she goes, "I love you. Bye-bye." That question, why is a question that I always ask. Why? Most people ask the question, "When was Jesus born? Was he born in 2 B.C., 4 B.C., 6 B.C., 8 B.C.? Lots of theories. Was Jesus born in December? Was he born in September? Was he born in March? Lots of questions there, lots of possible answers. I have my own opinion. Free to ask me some other time. When is a big question. Where? Some people say he wasn't born in Bethlehem, but in Nazareth. Others say that he was born in Jerusalem. The scriptures say Bethlehem. I believe Bethlehem. But rarely do we hear the question, why? Why was Jesus born? Why did God have to be born as a baby? Why couldn't God just have sent an angel to come down and make restitution for us and for our sins? Why did God have to become incarnate in human flesh? Why did God have to be born one of us and die for us? Why did it have to happen this way? I mean, after all, we're talking about God here. God can do whatever God wants to do, right? All right, now, you're looking dead. Is that true? Can God do whatever God wants to do? Yes, thank you. Isn't that one of the definitions of what it means to be God? That God can do whatever God wants to do. And if God wanted to say, okay, I'm going to wipe the slate clean, we're going to start over anew, it happened. But that's not how God did it. God can do whatever God wants to do, but God is also true to His own Word. And in His own Word, in what we now know of as the Old Testament, He set a pattern to pay for sin by the shedding of blood, the shedding of life. And hence, because we are sinners, because we go astray like stupid sheep, because we are sinners and have chosen the wrong path, because we fail to do God's will, because we fail to be perfect, because we, in Adam and Eve, as we saw in the pageant last Sunday, decided to listen to a snake instead of to God, God had to make provision for us by becoming one of us in Jesus of Nazareth, so that He could show us how much God loves us and die for us. Now, the scripture reading from Hebrews today answers the question why. So let's take a look at it. I'm going to look at verse 12. Actually, I want to back up to verse 11. For both He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren, brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Now, when I first read through this passage from Hebrews, it troubled me, bothered me. I was trying to figure out what in the world the author was meaning here. And as I looked at the passage, I came to realize that each one of these quotes, which is an Old Testament quote, each one of these quotes speaks of why Jesus came. So let's take a look at them again. He came, firstly, to proclaim God's name to His brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. He came to praise God, to proclaim the name of God. And if you think about it, His name, Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew, Yeshua, which is a combination of the name Yahweh, which is God's personal name, and saves. He came and by His very name proclaimed, and His very presence proclaimed, and very actions He proclaimed, God, Yahweh, saves. By being here, by simply being born as a human being, He begins the proclamation, Yahweh saves, Yahweh redeems, Yahweh delivers, Yahweh sanctifies. So by His very presence, in His name, Yeshua, Jesus, He is proclaiming the salvation of God. And He's not just doing it by being here, but also by speaking, by teaching, by showing us in His preaching and in His actions and healing how much God loves His children, how much God loves us. After all, He didn't just come and hide out in Jesus of Nazareth. God came and proclaimed the love of God to the whole world by preaching, by teaching, by healing the sick and raising the dead and curing the blind. Jesus came and worked miracles. Jesus came and preached about the love of God. And not only that, He then took our place, taking upon Himself what we deserve, the death penalty for our sins, and dying on the cross for us. So His first reason for coming was to proclaim the praise and name of God in the congregation, i.e., amongst the people. And He did that through teaching, through preaching, by being present in His very name, and by going to the cross for you and me. So that's the first reason why Jesus was born, instead of just being an angel come down out of heaven to proclaim and to work God's miracle. Second reason. And again, verse 13, I will put my trust in Him. I will put my trust in Him. Who? In Him. Who? Who's speaking? God. About whom? God. In other words, Jesus puts His trust in the Father. He puts His trust in the Father by being born to begin with. He puts His trust in the Father by coming and being one of us, trusting in the Father's love and the Father's will. In other words, Jesus activated and exercised faith on our behalf, showing us how to have faith in Him. In other words, He was the pattern for our faith. I will place my trust in the Father. The second reason why He came was because angels don't need faith. They obey. Yes, sir. No questions, no debate, no argument. They have a lot of knowledge, a lot more than we do. And when God says it, they say, yes, sir, and they go and do it. Human beings have the ability to say, that's what we did in Adam and Eve. We gave God an eternal raspberry. When we decided to trust Satan, the word of the snake, and not His word. Jesus comes and sets the pattern for faith, trust. And by trusting His Father, by trusting God, by trusting that God would raise Him from the dead after His death on the cross, He sets the pattern for you and me to trust the Father as well. So He comes to proclaim the name of God by His very presence. He comes to give an example for faith, and an example which empowers our faith, because it was His faith in the Father that then empowers our faith in the Father. And there's a third reason listed here. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. This is strange. This was the one that really caught my attention. Behold, as one translation goes, behold, it's me and my brothers and sisters. Behold, it's me and those children whom You've given me to be my siblings. Behold, it's me, God, right here. And all those that You've given me right back here. In other words, the third reason why He came was to be our brother, to be our kin. The word kin is the word that Southerners know. Next of kin. Who's your relative? Who's your kindred? He came to be our kin, our brother, our member of the family, and to say to God the Father, behold, It's me. See me and those you have given me. Now that's very important, and for this reason. We cannot come before the Father by our own righteousness. In fact, our righteousness is as dirty rags, filth. We are sinners. We fail. We are not perfect. We need the grace of God. Jesus comes to, by His name and His presence, proclaim the name of God and the presence of God. Jesus comes to exercise faith and set the pattern of faith for us and empower our faith in God by His grace. And thirdly, He comes to stand and say, "Behold, God, here I am. See my righteousness, God's righteousness in Jesus. And through me, all of those whom you've given me." In other words, we stand in Jesus' shadow. We stand in the righteous shadow of our God and King, our brother Jesus Christ, our Lord. He comes to stand and proclaim the name of God. He comes to set the pattern of faith for us. And He comes as our brother, as our kin, to stand in our place and to stand between us and the Father, and for us to go to the Father through Him and through His righteousness. All three of these things no angel could do. All three of these things only another human could do. And indeed, only God in human flesh could do. That's why Jesus was born. Jesus was born for us. Jesus was born so that we could approach the Father through Him. Jesus was born so that we might have an example and the grace we need to exercise faith in God, true trust in God. Jesus was born that we might know that Yahweh saves, Yahweh redeems, Yahweh delivers. Yahweh is our Savior. Yeshua, Jesus, was born so that we could come, could return to God the Father. This is an intellectual message today, but it's an important one to preach on the last Sunday of 2004, to preach on any Sunday. Jesus, that little baby born over 2,000 years ago, is God incarnate in human flesh. And He came for a reason. He came for a bunch of reasons. These three principal reasons that the letter to the Hebrews brings out are reasons that we need to hear today. He came to proclaim the name of God. God saves. He came to exercise faith and to set the pattern and to enable our faith. And He came to stand. And through His righteousness, God sees us as if we are as righteous as Jesus. That's what we need to hear today. That Jesus came to be our brother, to stand for us, to stand with us, and through His very presence, deliver us. I pray that as we close out this calendar year, and as we step out into 2005, that we might step out with faith, expressing the love of the Father to all whom we meet, that Jesus does indeed save, and proclaiming Christ Jesus crucified as our only way to salvation. My friends, as we enter into 2005, may we truly take our marching orders from God and step out in faith. Step out knowing that we go with Jesus, that Jesus goes with us. May you be blessed as we come to the end of this year and as we enter into the new year. May all that we do be done in the name of Jesus. Amen.